You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, Jesus is Asking for Your Opinion. And now here is Dr. Schultz.
What do most people think about couples who live together outside of marriage? And what is the public's opinion of income tax? And how does our population feel about the general status of the elderly? What is the opinion among young people today regarding smoking? Do most or some or all college and university presidents feel they are overworked? If we were to have a national election today, would the current president win? Are people using more or less salt than they did 10 years ago? And is the opinion of the public regarding butter and margarine now changing? If you want the answers to any of these questions, they are available. There are hardly any topics today that have not been targets of polls and surveys. Many professionals, in fact, even many non-professionals, are now convinced that it is impossible to make any decision in business or life without first consulting nationwide surveys and opinion polls. These gauges of public opinion have become the engine of political elections. They are now the compass of many clergymen, the life-determining pulse of merchants of materialism, the guiding light of left-wing social activists, and the final arbiter of even those who are trying to decide whether or not there are such things as universal and unchanging moral values. In fact, so important have surveys and polls become that the New York Times recently noted that there are now polls that are being used to evaluate polls. Not long ago, the Wilson Quarterly gave the background and the history of public opinion. The author notes that polls and surveys have their roots in the public opinion movement, which became popular in the 18th century, or about 300 years ago. Now, this may be true in the secular world. However, it may also surprise quite a few people that during his public ministry, Jesus also asked questions regarding the public's opinion of who he, the Son of God, is. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 16 we read, Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he began asking his disciples, saying, Who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they answered Jesus by saying, Some say that you are John the Baptist, and others say you are Elijah, but still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But then Jesus turned to his disciples and said, But who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Last December, Life magazine, on its front cover, carried a large face of Christ. And superimposed over the face of Christ in large letters was the question, Who was he? Sadly, however, the author of the Life magazine article then totally misinterprets and even terribly distorts the teachings of the Bible. The author asserts that we can know who Jesus is by reading St. Paul. This is, of course, true. The author then further states that St. Paul wrote that Jesus was all things to all men. Now, in saying this, the author of the Life magazine article maintained that St. Paul claimed that one can believe whatever he or she desires to believe about Jesus. This is totally false. St. Paul never ever taught such foolishness. Now, quoting the author, he meant that to some, Jesus is the Son of God born to a virgin nearly 2,000 years ago, and to others, Jesus is the Anointed One, the Christ, and still to others, Jesus is just a man who inspired, through his teachings and exemplary life, several faiths now incorporated into Christianity. And to still others, Jesus is a myth, a novel invention of Paul. These opinions made by the author in Life magazine may sound clever and even convincing to some,
But these authors' opinions are totally against the teachings of the Bible. Jesus has never been, and he never will be, open to wide opinions about his identity. Jesus Christ wants to be known in a very particular, clear, and positive way. And the confession that Peter made of his Savior is the one that Jesus Christ himself would like all of us also to make. Peter said to Jesus, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." In response to Peter's confession, Jesus said, "Flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven." The message of Jesus is clear. If you and I desire the strong conviction and the beautiful soul-saving confession of Peter, then our words will have to come from God and not from ourselves. Oh, what a blessing it is today to know that God will enable us to confess the saving name of his Son. So many in the decade of the 90s are hoping for a strong faith. Thousands today are sincerely seeking a religion that will capture their mind. Sadly, however, whenever we read about the desire of thousands to obtain or possess such a Christ-centered courage, conviction, and confession, it is almost always described as something that must either be generated or achieved by man himself. But each time the devil tempts us to believe this, then may our gracious God enable us to recall the words that Christ spoke to Peter. "Flesh and blood," Jesus said, "flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven." Later, the Apostle Paul also underscores the same teaching when he writes that no one can confess that Jesus Christ is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Yes, a soul-saving confession of Christ is a gift of God. It comes from God's life-giving Spirit. This same Spirit works through the Word of God, and the Spirit of God uses the Word as a means or a channel by which he comes to us to make us alive in Christ. When a power company wants to bring electricity into our home, it uses some type of means, as we say, or a way to do this. This is often by power lines or power cables. And when a gas company wants to furnish our home with gas for our stove or our furnace, they use a means or a pipe to accomplish this. And thus also, when God wants to give us life and hope and power and a strong conviction of faith, he also uses means. The means that God uses to reach us is his almighty, his all-powerful, and his eternal and life-giving word. In the Bible, in the book of Hebrews, we read that the word of God is living and it is active. When he wrote to the believers in Thessalonica, the apostle Paul pointed out clearly that the word of God is at work in all those who believe. And so, dear friend, for you to know about the Lord Jesus Christ is surely a great and glorious blessing from God. However, how you respond to this knowledge concerning Christ will determine whether Christ is for you only a temporary crutch for this life, or whether he is for you a solid rock and an immovable foundation, the eternal Christ of God, and one who will give you hope not only in this life, but also a blessed hope for the life to come. Indeed, nowadays, with books and technology, we can know many things about the Lord. Historical facts about Christ are interesting. Theological insights are informative. And even the miracles of Christ are inspiring. And of these many things written and said about the Lord Jesus Christ, we can take them, or we can leave them, as we say, for the most part. However, there are two things that the Scriptures testify to regarding Jesus that you and I cannot indiscriminately take or leave. There are two things in the life of Christ that you and I must come to grips with. And our response to these two key events in the life of our Savior will also determine whether you and I will spend eternity with Christ in the mansions of heaven, or whether you and I will spend eternity in hell forever separated from God. These two critical events are these: number one, the bloody crucifixion, and number two, the victorious resurrection of Christ. In his letter to the Christians in Corinth, the Apostle Paul also highlights these two events when he writes, "For I delivered unto you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." And so then the ultimate question, yes, the key and the critical question for you and me today regarding Jesus Christ is this. When Jesus Christ died an innocent and bloody death on the cross, do you, my friend, realize that it was your sins that caused his death? Do you feel responsible and sorrowful that Christ had to die? Or let's put it another way. When you see the cross of Christ, do you realize that Jesus died out of love for you? And that he went to the cross in order to pay the penalty for your sins? Oh, don't delay. No, don't delay in making your sincere confession unto God today that you are indeed sorry for your sins. And don't delay in confessing your knowledge that your sins caused Christ to be crucified. And when you make this Spirit-prompted and Spirit-enabled confession, know then also that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, will cleanse you from the guilt of all of your sins. Oh, of all of the things that you and I can know about Christ, the greatest is this. 3 days after Jesus was crucified on the cross, he was raised again from the dead. This glorious and victorious resurrection of Christ now makes it possible for even the most hopeless to have a future. Through faith in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, terminal cancer patients can face the future with hope. The resurrection of Christ dries the tears at the graveside of the grieving survivors. And there are also thousands of elderly who are now in rest and retirement homes. Many of these senior citizens have completed most of their earthly journey. And yet this does not have to be the end of life. In the resurrection of Christ, these senior citizens can look forward to the greatest part of their existence, life forever with God. This glorious eternal life is what the Apostle Paul was referring to when he wrote, "If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above and not on the things that are on earth." And then for all those who are united by faith with Christ in his resurrection, the Apostle Paul adds this, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory." Several minutes ago, we referred to Life magazine and the author of the article that demeaned the teaching of the Bible and also blasphemed Christ. This same author writes that whether Jesus lived or not, and whether Jesus died or not, and whether he ascended into heaven or not, is not all that important. What is important, according to this author, is that Jesus Christ is alive in the minds of those who believe in him. This blasphemy regarding Jesus' resurrection is dragging the divine and resurrected Christ down to the level of Buddha or some other mortal cult leader. Jesus Christ is not only alive in the minds of believers, Jesus Christ is alive in reality. No author of any magazine will ever cause the confession of the resurrected Christ by the faithful to disappear. From the beginning of the Christian church, on the basis of eyewitnesses and led by the Spirit of God, churches all over the world have confessed that Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary, that he suffered under Pontius Pilate, that he died and was buried, and that he descended into hell, and that he, Jesus Christ, rose again on the third day from the dead, and that he ascended into heaven, and that he, Jesus Christ, now sits at the right hand of God, and that he will come again to judge both the living and the dead. Jesus Christ is alive. Don't listen to the doubters, but instead confess the God-pleasing and soul-saving words of the Apostle Peter. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." For when you, in sincere repentance and faith, make this confession, then you shall be saved, and your name shall be written in God's book of life. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.